We're speaking with Rebecca McCall, running for District 4 County Commissioner for Henderson County in the Republican primary coming up here on May the 8th. And, of course, this is a seat you're working on from Tommy Thompson, who will be retiring later this year.
Yes.
Welcome, Rebecca. Let's get right to it if we can. Let's find out more about you in our Meet the Candidates forum here. Why are you running for Board of Commissioners, and give us your qualifications?
That's an interesting question, and everyone asks me that question when they first meet me. This goes back to when I was a senior in high school, and it's been a goal of mine since that time to be a commissioner. My grandfather was Clyde Jackson. He served for 12 years from 62 to 74. That was his last year. And during his last year in office, he developed Jackson Park. I got to participate in the planning committee for that park and witnessed what the commissioners really do for the county. And I became interested in it. I watched him, I admired him and the other commissioners. And I made the decision at that time that one day I would fill that role.
So what makes you feel like now's the time?
I've worked the past 40 plus years in industry. I've been involved in starting small businesses. I've been involved in my own personal business. But for the past 25 years, I've been focused on corporate America. I've been in, I've worked for two Fortune 500 companies, one being General Electric here in Hendersonville, and another being Hubbell Lighting down in Greenville. And through both of those companies, I received some of the best training that money can't buy. I was trained in business management through GE. GE does an excellent job of training their employees, especially their managers. I was trained in statistical analysis and problem solving and negotiations, and I put all of those into practices in the different jobs that I held for both of those corporations. I also had the opportunity to represent my company in Greenville at Capitol Hill, where I would meet with different congressmen from time to time to present our issues for the electrical industry. So I believe that I feel strongly that my background, my training, and my education, I do have a business degree from Montreat College, and I have a associate engineering degree from Blue Ridge Community College, and I attended Brevard College, so I've been with several of the local colleges around here. My education and my experience put me in a good, strong position to do this job and do it well.
You mentioned that you decided you wanted to do this back when you were in school.
Yes.
So let's talk about schools. That's something we're talking about a lot, school safety. What's your position?
I believe that's something that we can't turn our back on. Our children are the most important asset that we have. I have six grandchildren, five of which will be in the school system next term. And seeing that they're safe, making sure they're in safe, is the most important thing to me. And I'm sure it's the most important thing to all other parents and grandparents. School safety is one of those things that hopefully we'll never have to deal with. It's kind of like insurance. You buy insurance for your car and you hope you never have a wreck. You buy insurance from your house and you hope it never burns down. We're ensuring that our children will be safe, and we hope that the problem never happens in our environment. So we need to be mindful of what could happen. We need to be aware of what could happen. And we need to look for the areas that are vulnerable for those possibilities. There is the introduction of school safety or school resource officers in every school, which is going on right now through the end of the year. That, to me, is good. I'm glad that we're supporting that. It's a Band-Aid, though, because the resource officers can only be in one place at a time. However, having that sheriff's car in the parking lot could be a deterrent to anything happening. But our facilities need to be reevaluated as well. The new schools that are being built will be built with safety in mind, with the different things in place that can provide a safe environment. But we have schools such as East High and West High and Bruce Drysdale that are 50, 60 plus years old and need some attention. They need to be reevaluated. Possibly internal doors need to be changed. Locks need to be changed. Maybe we need to connect the buildings at the two high school. But somebody needs to go through and do an evaluation of those facilities and make sure that they are safe for the children.
Something that's come back up again is the subject of the Law Enforcement Training Center. Your opponent has stated his position on the Law Enforcement Training Center for this. Your opponent for the primary coming up. What's your position regarding that training center?
Well, first off, I was opposed to the $20 million plus facility. When that was originally presented to the commissioners, it was presented as a $3 million outdoor facility, and it escalated to a $20 million facility because the commissioners wanted it to be an indoors to keep down the noise and anything that could happen in an environment where residents are close by. But all along, it was requested for an outdoor facility, which is the direction we've gone back towards. I believe that we need to support this effort because Justice Academy is a state facility. It's not always available to our law enforcement officers, and it doesn't really have the resources that we need for the type of training that they need. They need to do scenario training. They need to do training that's more in line with what the military is trained for, as far as when the military is trained to walk through a town and when somebody jumps up out from behind a building, they can react. We need to give our law enforcement officers that same type of training. And this new facility will allow us to do that. And continuous training. We don't need to be on a schedule that we're competing with other law enforcement facilities to use the Justice Academy. We need to be able to use our own facility when we need it. And if we're going to add resource officers, which would be about 13 more officers, as I understand it, then they're going to need the thorough training that is involved to make them ready to serve in the schools and to serve as deputies.
Let's talk about growth in Henderson County, and not just in what would be your district necessarily. NCDOT has projects all throughout Henderson County. There's a large not in my backyard faction going on, whether it be Balfour Parkway Project, the widening of NC 191, the roundabouts in Laurel Park. What's your position on how we manage the growth that we can't necessarily stop coming into Henderson County?
And what you just said is accurate. We can't stop the growth unless we build a wall around the county, and I don't think we're prepared to do that. No, the growth is going to happen. If you go back through the statistics, our population has grown 60-plus percent since 1990. That's not that long ago. And 28% since the year 2000. The prospective growth that is being estimated moving forward is not as aggressive, but it's closer to 5%, but that's a guess, and we don't really know what it's going to be. We recently heard some statistics about there's less births in Henderson County than there are deaths, but I do question those numbers as well, because does that include the births where we have Henderson County residents who are delivering in Buncombe County? So how accurate are those numbers? But at the same time, we also know that our growth doesn't just come from birth. It comes from people moving here to retire. 25% of our population is 65 and over. I'm not there yet, but I'm close to it. but I was born here. I was raised here. I did not move here. I don't know what the amount of the 25% that moved here is, but that's probably going to continue to grow because we are such a desirable area to move to and to live in. So we need to be able to handle that growth, to manage that growth. We all complain about the traffic on Four Seasons Boulevard. We all complain about the traffic going through downtown, especially during times like the Apple Festival. So we either need to make the decision that we can live with the traffic problem, or we want to do something about it. And if we do something about it, then it's going to involve changing the roads. The Balfour project is a unique one because that goes back as far as 1990-something. It was just had a different name. It was called the Clear Creek Connector. I think the NCDOT has done a poor job of coming up with a solution for that. They have 24 scenarios, but not any of them actually solve the problem of moving traffic from one end of 64 to the other end of 64. It doesn't even connect to 64 on the other end. It does take traffic from 64 to 191, but that won't ease the traffic from going through downtown. So DOT needs to go back to the drawing board and bring us new solutions. Solutions that don't involve taking out hundreds of homes, because hundreds of homes means property. Property means taxes. Taxes are what we live on for the county. That's what we run the county business from.
Let's go from roadways to greenways. How do you feel about the extension of greenways, which is another hot topic right now?
Well, I had never walked the greenways until recently, and one Sunday when it was in between the rains, I grabbed my husband and I said, let's go walk the greenway and see what this is all about. And I was quite delighted. The section between Jackson Park and 7th Avenue needed some attention, or the section that goes under Four Seasons Boulevard, because it was underwater because of all the rain that we had had. But when we got past that area, we had a very delightful walk, and I saw a part of the county that I had never seen before. I had never walked along that creek before. I had never walked in that area before. And I felt like it was a nice, pleasant walk. It was even. It was no hills, which was great for me. I don't like hills. So a continuation of that to even Westfelt Park, I think, is a viable project. I also support the project to go from Hendersonville to Brevard along the rail system, if we can obtain that rail system, because that is what they did in Greenville, from Traveler's Rest to Greenville with the Swamp Rabbit Trail, I believe they call it. Mm-hmm. And it's been very successful. Not only does it give people a place to go and exercise, in addition to the many parks that we have, and we have a wealth of parks that are wonderful, but it also gives a place for those who are into bicycling to go and ride in a safe environment. I get nervous when I pass a bicycler on the road. I don't know what they're going to do next. Do I pass them? Do I stay behind them? So to give them a safe place to ride, I think would be great. And there's ways to expand the greenways without a lot of cost, because there is grant money available. We just have to be smart about how we obtain the money. There is a unique group of people that have come together to plan all this. They are very smart people. They know what they're doing. They have it all planned out, and I think we need to listen to them. Now, I have seen that there's a goal to have 99 miles of greenway around the county, and I'm not sure if we need to go that far with it, but I do support the projects that are on the docket right now.
So we've talked about a lot of recent hot topics around here. Mm-hmm. Let's get a little more broad, a little more general. Do you have a specific or some specific goals you would like to see achieved as commissioner?
Yes, and this might not seem as important to some people, but I think it is a very important goal. Going back to my years in industry, I participated in a lot of events called Kaizens, and that's where we would take a problem in manufacturing and we would bring a diverse group of people together and we would try to resolve that problem. And the first thing in resolving the problem is to find the root cause of the problem. And every single time when we would make the list of causes that resulted in a problem, communication or lack of communication was on that list. I'm seeing the same thing in our local government. When I sit in the meetings, when I watch the meetings on the video of the commissioners, almost every time someone says gets up from the public and says, why did I not know about this before now? Why am I just hearing about this? Why didn't I get some advance notice about this? I think we can do a much better job of informing the public and a better job of letting them communicate back to the commission. I think it could be more timely. All they get is 3 minutes. They can send an email, obviously, but at the meetings, all they get is 3 minutes. I think we need more meetings that are just set up for the public to come and present their issues, and then have the regular meetings in addition to that. I don't know how my other commissioners would feel about that, but that's something I would like to propose.
So ultimately, when it comes down to it, a vote for Rebecca McCall for District 4 County Commissioner in the upcoming primary means a vote for what?
Professionalism, integrity, and passion.
Rebecca, how can we find out more about you?
You can visit my website, RebeccaMcCall.com, and I'm also on Facebook, Elect Rebecca McCall for Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.